Wisconsin continues to lead the nation in family farm bankruptcies. We're talking about it here on The Morning Show. Good morning, I'm Kate Archer-Kent. There are new year-over-year federal numbers that are broken down by the American Farm Bureau Federation. From July 2018 through June of this year, Wisconsin farmers filed 45 bankruptcies under Chapter 12. That's a section of the U.S. Bankruptcy Code that provides financially troubled family farmers with a path to repay all or part of their debts to avoid foreclosure. As a farmer, have you filed for bankruptcy? What was the process like? Did you emerge from bankruptcy? We're at 800-642-1234. Darren Von Ruden is president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me on this morning, Kate.
Darren, what are you hearing? Why are farmers filing for bankruptcy?
Well, it's all, or the majority of it is the current economic situation that farmers are facing. We're in the fifth year now of low prices for commodities. Dairy, being the dairy state, we certainly have seen that as the majority of the problem. But also in corn, soybeans, beef, swine, chickens. We're all at, you know, all-time lows for pay prices and for an extended period. You know, a lot of years farmers will see 2 or 3 years of lower prices, but then have a year to 18 months of good prices. So the cycle allows farmers to catch up a little bit. But with the extended period that we're seeing right now, it's just having a dramatic effect on farmers' incomes and what they can and can't do.
Yeah, we're going to explore the markets in just a bit, but when a farmer files for Chapter 12 bankruptcy, what does that mean and what happens?
Well, that means that they will start a process that allows them to continue their business, but if they can't get enough creditors to look at them, eventually they could go into total bankruptcy, which means that the bank takes all their property from them, or their lenders will take the property. The majority of the time, they are able to work things out, but there are certain situations, and when it gets bad enough, then the creditors take either the land and machinery or the animals and sell them to pay off the debt that farmer owns.
How much debt are we talking about? How much is the debt load of a farmer who is looking at Chapter 12 bankruptcy?
Oh, you could be looking at a smaller operation that might have $500,000, all the way up to larger operations that could have $20-30 million worth of debt.
And how behind on payments would a farmer be?
Most of the time, you have to be 6 months out or so. A lot of creditors, will be, will somewhat comfortable with a 35 to 60 day mortgage. But once you hit that 6 months that you haven't been paying bills, that's when the creditors really start to get nervous about continuing to provide credit to that operation.
We're talking about family farm bankruptcies and new data showing Wisconsin is still number one in the nation. Darren Von Ruden is president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. You can join in. Are you a farmer feeling the effects of the trade war? Have you dealt with overproduction, low commodity prices, as we've been talking about? Are you contemplating bankruptcy? Join in with your story, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Darren, have you seen farmers stay in business after filing for bankruptcy? Is there a process where they do emerge that bankruptcy can help?
Yes, I have, and it boils down to, sometimes just pure luck. Maybe the pay prices will turn around at the right time and give that farmer, and all the other farmers really a better chance at staying alive. Sometimes it's just the reorganization process that happens under Chapter 12. They're able to put some of their debts into another category and pay a lot lower premium to the creditor. and therefore allowing them, you know, more years to pay off that debt. But then with the turnaround in the economy of agriculture, they are able to do that. This particular cycle, we're not seeing that, though, being we're in that fifth year of low pay prices, and it's looking like we're going to continue down that road for at least the next year, if not the next 2 to 3 years. It's really hard for creditors to look at some operations that are just too far behind already and let them continue operating at losses.
How often do you see farmers looking for other options to make money flow into the farm? Do you see value-added agriculture going on? Do you see them picking up side jobs?
Yeah, you know, that happens kind of on a yearly basis. You know, when pay prices are low for the first year and a half or so, that's when farmers start to look at other opportunities. And we've seen some of that, you know, in the dairy industry here in the state of Wisconsin, where farmers have implemented or put creamery or milk processing facilities on the farm so they can make their own farmstead cheese or sell, you know, different products that are made out of milk that have, you know, the majority of the time have been very profitable. But you've got to have a good clientele or a good consumer base close by, too, so it doesn't work for every single dairy operation, but it has worked for some in the past.
And there's risk as well, because you have to buy a, you know, different set of technology, and you have to open up a different type of business.
Right, right. And that's, you know, that's not cheap neither at all. It's, by the time you buy all the stainless steel and the processes that are needed to make the cheese, that adds that expense, and plus you have to most of the time do quite a bit of advertising to get the consumer base that you need to keep that facilities up and operating.
What are some other ways that you're seeing farms get by, make ends meet?
Well, certainly going to town and getting another job, or maybe sometimes two jobs. You know, the husband and wife and maybe the kids have to work off the farm to help bring in some income to keep that farm running. And I know one thing that, you know, some farmers are really starting to talk about is how this expensive hobby that we have is just getting to be too much, and there really isn't a job in town or in the neighborhood that can help you keep that farm alive.
When you say expensive hobby, I mean, are you saying that lightly? Because farming is an industry. It goes well beyond a passion. It is certainly a career and a livelihood.
Right, right. You know, so it's one of those things that, you know, it's in most cases, it's said trying to lighten the mood so that we can really think about, you know, in a different aspect versus the real stress that, you know, farm economy is putting on most farmers nowadays.
Wisconsin has led the nation in farm bankruptcies in recent years. We're talking about the plight of the family farm with Wisconsin Farmers Union President Darren Von Ruden. Have you recently had to sell off your herd or perhaps sell your farm? How long did your family operate the farm? Why did you sell the business? Are you going through Chapter 12 bankruptcy right now? What is the process like? Join in the discussion with your questions, your story, 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll be back to this discussion in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about farm bankruptcies as Wisconsin continues to lead the nation in the number of filings. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Farm bankruptcy filings in the year through June were up 13% from 2018, and loan delinquency rates are on the rise. Wisconsin, Kansas, and Minnesota led the nation in Chapter 12 filings. Minnesota increased so significantly in the past year that they reached the highest levels of the past decade. Farmers, have you contemplated filing for bankruptcy? What do you think about the financial position of family farms in Wisconsin? We're at 800-642-1234. We're talking with Darren Von Ruden. He's president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Let's go to the phones now with Owen joining us from Wyawega. Hi, Owen.
Good morning. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning.
I have a neighbor that's just filed Chapter 12, and he, just 2 years ago, he built a 700-cal dairy facility. I think they were milking 300 or so, and they decided to add on another 400 cattle. And so this was a strategic move because they were going through a divorce, and in order to eliminate having to pay his wife any type of, alimony or whatnot, he just went into a bankruptcy to show that he has no assets and he's in debt. And what really the kicker on this was is his daughter was able to borrow from the beginning farmer loan program at our local FSA office here in Waupaca County. And I tried to borrow it from the same office, from the same loan officer, and I was told no, but she was told yes. And now they're in Chapter 12 and they've defaulted on all their loans. So for me, this is just a strategic move for some of these bigger farms to use in order to erase their debt, become more profitable in the long run, and, you know, in the short term, they showed, you know, their income over their assets.
Oh, and I want to jump in here and let Darren respond to how the FFA is helping or assisting farmers. And I know that, Darren, you can't speak to that specific case that Owen is talking about, but what is the FFA doing?
Well, they're certainly allowing, you know, for certain operations to come and get financing through them. The majority of the time, they are the lender of last resort and certainly have a little bit more of a relaxed borrowing atmosphere. But, you know, they do have certain programs, and one of them that Oren mentioned, too, that allows for females or ladies to borrow versus gentlemen that might be looking at, and that's part of trying to diversify the people who actually own farms or land and animals throughout the country. It's not a Wisconsin specific thing. It's something that FSA does throughout the country.
Well, Darren, before we get to the end of the conversation, it's really important that we get to tariffs and what is going on in this trade war with China. The American Farm Bureau Federation, it said exports of farm products to China fell by $1.3 billion in the first half of the year. How is this current trade war affecting Wisconsin farms?
Well, it certainly is duplicating the economic stress that farmers are seeing throughout the state. When you're losing markets that it took a couple decades to build up, and knowing that those markets probably are not going to come back the day after an agreement is signed, which right now that doesn't look like that's anytime soon, neither at all. There's just too much difference between the U.S. and the Chinese and who wants what. So, you know, it's really starting to look like as farmers we're going to have to either find new markets or figure a way out to bring supply and demand more in balance.
Governor Evers sent a letter to President Trump recently asking him to stop the tariffs. What else can be done at the state level to help farmers during this trade war?
You know, being, especially on the dairy side of the business, being it's more of a national issue, meaning that we're really in a world market right now, that's really kind of a federal thing. There are some states that do have state programs, but those states are also some of the smaller dairy-producing states that have, a program that pays farmers maybe up to a couple dollars, a hundredweight and more for their milk that stays in the state, but also they, want to encourage farmers to stay in business, and that's why programs like that are going on. You know, here in the state of Wisconsin, as the second largest producer in the country, we would bankrupt the state treasury in a matter of days, basically, if we were going to do a program similar to that one, and the one I'm talking about is the main dairy program.
Well, Darren, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Kate.
Darren Van Ruden is president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Former Wisconsin Public Radio reporter Glenn Mulberg passed away this past weekend. Glenn was known as a tough but fair interviewer. He was also loved playing music and using sound to tell stories. His skill as a journalist and talk show host could clearly be seen and heard in the hundreds of stories and segments he produced for WPR. News director Noah Ovchinsky has this remembrance.
Glenn Mulberg had a long resume. He was a talk show host, a musician, active in a community that he loved, a husband, a father, and he was a reporter's reporter.
Glenn, he would come to some events, and he'd have his headphones on, and he'd have his equipment strapped to his belt, and you could see him coming, you know.
Republican State Senator Jerry Petruski has represented the Wausau area for years and was frequently interviewed by Glenn. He says Glenn wasn't afraid to ask the hard questions, but
I think he did his job, and he did it with a real professional, genuine caring about what he was doing and what his job included.
They didn't always see eye to eye, but Petruski says one of the things that really stuck out about Glenn was his genuine love of central Wisconsin. He says he was truly committed to the people in the region. Glenn asked hard questions. He did not do softballs, both in the field and on his talk show Route 51. As former Democratic state lawmaker Julie Lassa knew well, she represented the Stevens Point region for nearly two decades.
So you had better have done your homework, because he had, and he was going to ask you some really good, thoughtful questions in order to make sure that his listeners were informed on the issue.
Lassa says Glenn would not move on until he got a real answer.
He was always the type of reporter and interviewer to bring you back, to try to make sure that you weren't able to skirt around an issue. I always respected that about him.
With Glenn, though, it wasn't just about the questions. He had high expectations when it came to his work and his guests. According to WPR regional manager Rick Ryer, Glenn's rules were clear.
We would have the opposing candidates in the studio together, and Glenn would sit them down before the microphone went on. He said, "This is how it's going to go. We don't yell in the studio. We have a civil conversation about things we differ on."
Of course, Glenn also had a softer side. Over the years, he covered some of the most tragic events to hit his region. Some made headlines, like shooting sprees and a helicopter crash. Others were smaller stories about pervasive problems like homelessness. In each story, he approached his subjects with empathy and a desire to give a voice to the voiceless. You can hear it in stories like this.
This is the kind of cold that burns your nostrils and hurts your eyes. It's the kind of cold that shuts down schools and even retail businesses. And for the homeless here on the streets of Wausau, it can be deadly.
By the time I walked two blocks, I had ice in my mustache, eyelashes.
Glenn loved sound. He often spoke about the importance of entertaining listeners while also delivering the news. One of his favorite stories, and mine, was about bears. Glenn went into the field with some researchers and took the audience with him.
The party pushes through the spindly growth to the den where the groggy mother lays with her four cubs. Codavis plunges the syringe into her side, and soon she's asleep. The tiny cubs are pulled away and handed one at a time to the volunteers. They look like cuddly teddy bears. They sound like banshees.
Glenn would spend hours working to get the sound just right on stories like that. He also spent his life immersed in other kinds of sound, usually involving a guitar. Glenn was an accomplished singer-songwriter who often played on his show Route 51 and in gigs around the community. Wausau was a frequent muse.
WAUSA, and the only thing missing is you.
One of Glenn's favorite guests was jazz violinist and composer Randy Sabine. Here they are playing Soul of a Man on Route 51.
Oh man, tell me, Glenn.
Thank you. What is the soul of a man? For Glenn Moberg, it was a life filled with family, countless friends, music, and bringing the voices of his community alive through his reporting.
What is the soul of a man? What is the soul of a man? What is the soul? What is the soul? What is the soul of a man?
And that was WPR News Director Noah Ovshinsky remembering reporter Glenn Moberg, who passed away this past weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.